How many of you have maybe a favorite food that you enjoy eating? Anyone have something that they just look forward to eating? Maybe your wife, you know, spent a long time making your special meal, or maybe it's your birthday, young person. Your mom says, you know, you can pick out anything you want for your birthday and I'll make it for you. Well, maybe, liver and onions. maybe there's something you really enjoy, and you comment to your wife, "Boy, that was a great meal. That I think that's, you know, the best meal you've ever cooked." And so the next day, your wife, you know, spends a lot of time and makes the same meal again, and maybe it continues on for a couple of weeks, you know, maybe a couple of months, and. And your wife's she's putting all this time into making this meal. And, you know, I mean, you said it was, you know, the best meal, your favorite one. Well, after a while, you're probably not going to enjoy that meal so much. You've become so familiar with it. I remember my grandpa, well, he was a great blessing, and every Saturday night, he would come over and he would bring, you know, ice cream and potato chips, and a lot of times he'd bring dip for the potato chips, and he'd bring malts, and we'd have malts, and it was a great thing. Well, one time he brought, I think it was Schwab's mint chocolate chip ice cream, and my sisters commented on how they thought this was like the best mint chocolate chip ice cream. Well, for a long time after that, every Saturday night, my grandpa brought that Schwab's mint chocolate chip ice cream. And I'd have to confess that after a while, you know, I actually started, I think, you know, I like Roundy's mint chocolate chip ice cream or Old Time better than the Schwab's, you know. But, you know, after a while of having something, then I think he started bringing something else, you know, after a while. But, you know, you can become familiar with something and you don't maybe appreciate it as much as you should. And, you know, familiarity with the truth without embracing the truth is extremely dangerous. We can be familiar with something and it can lead to, or someone, and it can lead to grave dangers in our life. Now you think if you could take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, we find the people that grew up with Christ were familiar with him, but yet they did not embrace the truth of who Christ was and put themselves in a very dangerous position. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 22, it says, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son?" We find in Matthew chapter 16, and we can stay in Luke chapter 4, that's where we're going to mainly stay, but Matthew 16 and verse 16, when Christ asked them who he was, Peter said, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Here we have two different responses to the ministry of Christ. Here we have Peter embracing the truth of who Christ was, recognizing that he was the Son of God. In Luke chapter 4, we have those that were familiar with Christ but not embrace the truth of who he was presenting himself to be. And because of that, they rejected the truth. And in fact, even tried to kill the Lord Jesus Christ by throwing him over the cliff. We find familiarity can be very dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Well, we're going to not necessarily go in order, but we see that familiarity can breed contempt. Notice what it says in verse, let's actually read through some of this passage and then we'll go back through it. And Christ is declaring, let's begin in verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. So this is the people that are familiar with him. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, or Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." So here are the people that the Lord Jesus Christ grew up with, the people that we're familiar with, and he states who he is, he states what is going to take place in his ministry, the rejection, really, of those of his own country, and that he's going to go to Capernaum. Really, in a sense, it was a place where there was Gentile activity, and he was going to go there. Then we find also, though, the people of Capernaum, Christ said, if the works that were done here would have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in some of the areas around there. But here, what takes place? It says that he rose, they were wanting to thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. So here's the people that are familiar with Christ, but now there is a great contempt in their heart as Christ states who he is. Think of Joseph in the Old Testament, his brothers. There was great contempt in their heart as he gave them the dream and told them of what was going to become of him. And as he declared that someday the son, they were going to bow down to him, his brothers did not like it, did they? You know, familiarity can breed contempt when presented with particular situations. And we must be very careful, because in our own hearts, contempt can very easily work itself in with those that we are familiar with. You know, now in this situation, you know, what did they want? Well, it says here, "A physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum," verse 23, "do also here in thy country." Now, why did they want Christ to do these works in their country? Was it because they recognized Christ for who he was, and they wanted to understand more about him? Well, no, probably the reason they wanted him to do more works in their country is because they wanted, so to speak, to see the spectacle of these people being healed. I mean, how many of you would want to see somebody healed? Well, all of us would. I mean, man, look at that. What a great thing to see. Really, we find it for selfish reasons. You think sometimes of people thinking, you know, look at these other, you know, churches and look at all these, man, maybe a young person, look at all these fun activities that they're having. You know, why can't we have them at our church? You know, and maybe it breeds resentment in their hearts. When, what's the reason they want the activities? Is it really because they want to reach out and see people saved and bring people in? Well, no, it's because they want to have a fun time. You know, sometimes we have this contempt can be brought in. Young people get familiar. You know, we think we deserve certain things. You know, Christ was maybe from their territory. Maybe they thought, you know, we deserve for him to do these same works in our country, in our land. You know, we start to think in our society, you know, I deserve to go to school. You know, I deserve to be able to go to college. You know, in our country, we've become so, you know, familiar with these things that we think we deserve them. You know, did these people deserve for the Lord Jesus Christ to work? I mean, think of the great privilege they had of the Lord Jesus Christ clearly declaring who he was in their midst. And yet they rejected it. But yet they're saying, oh, you know, he's saying they're going to say that they want these works to be done amongst them. But yet they were rejecting him for who he was. Familiarity with the truth, but a rejection of it, can very easily breed contempt in our lives, thinking, you know, we deserve something. Familiarity, we see very clearly in this passage, can also breed a lack of respect. Notice in verses 25 and 26 and 27, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, and a woman that was a widow. Verse 27, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisus, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Now if we go over to 2 Kings chapter 5 and look at the account of Elisha with Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5. Notice what takes place. Verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Assyria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. All right, so here we have an instance of a maid here, understanding who Elisha was, that he was a prophet of God. But if you come later on in the verse, as Naaman comes to the king of Israel, notice what he says. Verse 6, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man to send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Well, obviously, the king of Israel did not have much respect for who? For Elisha. Notice verse 8. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a what? There is a prophet in Israel. You know, here's Elisha's own countrymen, and they do not recognize what? That there was a prophet of God in their land, and God's power was upon his life. You know, and if we're not careful, you know, we can have familiarity in our lives maybe with certain people, and it can lead to a lack of respect. Here these people had familiarity with Christ, but they obviously did not what? Respect him for who he was. You know, and Christ said a prophet is not without honor save in his own what? Save in his own country. All right, so a general principle is that people tend to have a lack of respect many times for those that are around them. Children with their parents many times can what? You know, there can be a familiarity there that they what? They lose the proper respect that they ought to have. You know, you think of with church members and with maybe their pastors or students with their teachers. You know, there can be a familiarity there sometimes. And what can it lead to? Well, a lack of proper respect. And here's Elisha in the land. And, you know, the power of God was upon his life. But yet the what? The king of Israel didn't seem to recognize. He didn't say, you know what? You came to the wrong person. You need to go to Elisha. He's a man of God. He's the one that you need to talk to. You know, and notice here, there was only what? First, Christ said, hey, there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha, but what? But it was a Gentile that was healed of his leprosy. And now Christ is going to depart from his hometown and go somewhere else. His own people are going to reject him. And just like in the Old Testament, where here's Elisha, and you know, there were many other lepers, but it was a Gentile that was healed. You know, we wonder this evening, how much of what God could do are we missing out on because we may be familiar, so to speak, with the truth, but we have not embraced it. You know, is God's power going to be demonstrated somewhere else because his own people are not willing to come to him? So we find familiarity can breed a lack of respect. You know, young people never become so accustomed to being in a Christian school that you have a lack of respect for the teachers that God has placed in your life. You know, as a congregation, hopefully we do not lose respect, you know, for the man of God that God has placed in our midst. Familiarity can lead to a lack of respect. You think of people that get disgruntled, you know, maybe with an authority that God has placed in their life. Well, what is it? They've become too familiar and have lost respect. We find here that familiarity can also breed ungratefulness. You know, what should have these people said to him? Verse 23, it says, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." You know, but what should Christ have been saying about them that they were going to say? You know, they should have what? Fell down and worshipped him and been grateful for who he was. But instead they're what? They wanted something from him. You know, and is that our response? You know, we're familiar with the truth. We want something. You know, that's the kind of churches we have today. People go there, why? Because they want something. You know, what can that church do for me? You know, and what happens? People come familiar. They get so used to maybe the blessings of a church, and they start thinking what? That they deserve something, that they ought to get something from this. Instead of falling down and worshiping at the foot of their master, the Lord of heaven, and being grateful for who he is and what he has done in their lives. You know, familiarity can bring ungratefulness even in our day-to-day relationships. You think of children with their parents. You think of the blessings that we have in our country. You think of the food that we enjoy. You know, the Christian school that we have. Maybe, you know, maybe it's something as, you know, like Camp Joy. You know, you're able to go there every summer. Well, and you begin to think, what? Well, I deserve it. You know, the opportunity that we have to be able to go soul winning. Maybe it's your spouse. You know, familiarity with someone or with something can very easily lead to ungratefulness because we begin to think that we deserve something. You know, what can I get from this instead of what can I give? You know, maybe it's something as simple as the nursery. You know, do you think, man, I deserve the church nursery? You know, what a blessing it is, the ladies that serve in there. And, you know, maybe it's, you know, the ushers that stay late till however late it is after the service. You know, we begin to think, boy, we deserve these things. And familiarity with the truth of God's Word can lead to a what? Can lead to ungratefulness. You know, this week one of the themes was the treasure of the truth. Do we embrace the truth? Do we understand the great treasure that it is? You know, these people had no comprehension of the Lord Jesus Christ and who He was and the great treasure that they had to be in the very town that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised in. And what did they do? They took Him and they wanted to kill Him. You know, how many times ungrateful we can be for what we have in the Word of God and the truth that we have been given. You know, anytime we want to reject a truth in the Word of God, anytime we want to reject a standard, we think, man, why did I have to be in this church with all these, you know, crazy standards in it? And we're ungrateful. We have become familiar with the truth. And it has led to our ungratefulness because we have not embraced it. Familiarity can be very dangerous. Familiarity can also lead to a hardness of heart. Verse 28 says, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things," it says, "they were filled with wrath." If we go over to Matthew chapter 11, find where Christ did many of His wonderful works. Matthew 11, verse 20. It says, "Then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they," what? "They repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven," where Christ went after He went from Nazareth, "shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." You know, think of the hardness of their hearts. They had seen the Lord do all these wonderful things, but yet they did not embrace the truth. And their hearts had become hard. Now I wonder this evening, are you familiar with the truth? You've been taught the Word of God, but have you embraced it? You know, you think of young people that in the United States, you know, have an opportunity maybe to go to a good Christian school. And they turn down that opportunity. They have become familiar with the truth, but have not embraced it. And think of the dangerous position that they are putting their life in when others across this world don't have the opportunity but would pay great expense to be able to have that opportunity that young people have. You know, what a dangerous thing. You know, young person tonight, if you're out there and you are rejecting the truth that you have become familiar with, your life is in grave danger. You are just like these people who had the Lord Jesus Christ in their midst, but yet they rejected him. You know, you think, you know, all of us sitting here, or myself standing here this evening, think, you know, why couldn't they accept him? I mean, look at this. He's healing the blind. He's doing all these works. And yet they rejected him. But then you think of our own society today. You think of people in a church like this and other churches like this out there. And the truth is presented to them. They see people saved and lives changed, but yet they what? They reject the truth. And the same thing is happening in our own midst today, because people become familiar with the truth. But they must understand that familiarity can breed a lack of respect. Familiarity can breed ungratefulness. You know, just like if, you know, your wife spent a couple hours making that favorite meal every day, after a while you would be what? The natural human tendency would be to be what? Become unthankful for the hours that she was spending making that same thing every day, because you became what? Familiar with it. You know, it is a natural, I mean, Christ is saying, this is a proverb. This is a general truth of wisdom, that a prophet is not without honor save in his own country. Familiarity can be dangerous. I mean, and he goes to the Old Testament and shows Elisha, you know, Elijah, and some of the things that maybe could have taken place, but they didn't. And actually it was God worked in a Gentile situation. Familiarity can lead to a hardness of heart. But we also find here that familiarity can lead to a rejection of faith. You know, we looked at these verses already, and we've talked about it some, but notice, you know, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Notice that Elijah was what? Was sent to this woman. You know, God knew the response that this woman would have. You know, are there situations that maybe God is withholding from us because he knows the way we're going to respond? Are there opportunities maybe that God is would put in front of us to witness to somebody, but he knows the way we're going to respond, so he doesn't send them? You know, are there opportunities to give that maybe God would put in front of us, but he doesn't, because he knows the way that we would respond? You know, are there opportunities for your family that God might put in front of you, but he doesn't, because he knows the way that you would respond? Familiarity can lead to a rejection of faith. You know, the people in the country of Israel that should have understood the power of Elijah, the power of God that was upon Elisha and upon Elijah, were not the ones that they were sent to. But here they were sent to a Gentile, and that is where God's power was shown. Have we become so ungrateful this evening with the truth that opportunities for God's power to be demonstrated in front of us are being turned away because of our rejection of faith? You know, this evening we need to recognize our tendency, the danger of our human frailty to become familiar with truth, but to lose the respect, to lose the value, the treasure that is put in front of us simply because we have become familiar with it. You know, young person, you know, you think of the illustration tonight of Miss Fink, and here's these young people that, you know, aren't a part of the church, and probably don't sound like they have much church background, And they were what? They were soaking it all in. You know, you wonder how many young people from our own church in those lessons were maybe daydreaming, thinking about other things, wondering, when can I get to game time? You know, I'm sure there are many unsaved people thinking that too. But, you know, you think of the familiarity that we have. It can so easily lead to us being ungrateful, to not soaking in the opportunities that we have because we are so familiar with it. And the same thing happened here in the very place that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised in. I mean, these people saw him grow up. They were familiar with it. And it was a great danger in their lives, and it led to their rejection of Christ because they did not respond correctly to the truth that had been presented. You know, tonight we have been given great privilege. Are we going to recognize the danger of the great privileges that we have been given? Are we going to recognize that familiarity with some of these great things, the truths that we have been given, is very dangerous? Are we going to recognize, you know, we have been so blessed in this country, and we can see it all around it. All the people nowadays that think, you know, I deserve for the government to pay for my college. I deserve for the government to pay for my schooling. Maybe a young person, you think, you know, my parents ought to pay for my schooling. They ought to pay for my college bill. They ought to pay all these things. And you start to think, you deserve it. You know, but maybe you need to pick up a little bit on history. You know, and you read about some of these families. And, you know, you read about how, you know, you hear about some of these young people that had to get a job at whatever age to help support the family. And we start to think that what we live in is what we deserve. You know, these people knew the Lord Jesus Christ. They say, is not this the son of Joseph? And what we need is the response of Peter, who recognized this is the Son of God. And when we take and we embrace the truth, recognizing the danger of familiarity, that is the truth of who Jesus Christ is. He is the chief cornerstone of the church. And that is the type of action that God can bless and work through. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12, the Lord warned the children of Israel, saying, "Then beware lest thou what? Lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." What was it? When they became full, when they became familiar, so to speak, with the blessings around them, how easily we can forget. Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget what? Forget not all his benefits." If we become so familiar with the blessings of God tonight that we have forgotten where they have come from, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. This evening, we need to recognize the danger of familiarity. The danger of the great blessings that we enjoy, the great opportunities, and begin to think that we deserve something. When it says in Lamentations, it is of the what? The Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts tonight. Lord, may each one of us recognize the frailty of our human bodies and who we are. Lord, how easy it is to be accustomed, to get accustomed to the blessings around us, particularly the blessing of the truth of your word. Lord, I pray tonight especially for each young person that is in the congregation this evening. Lord, that they would not become familiar with the blessings that they have by being able to be a part of a good church. So familiar with it, Lord, that they choose to reject it because they have not embraced the truth of your word. Lord, I pray tonight that we would not forget the great benefits that you have bestowed upon us. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed this evening,
I wonder, you know, really, first of all, have we forgotten the great benefit of our salvation?
You know, have we forgotten what God has done for us? That's where it all begins. You know, we're not going to appreciate our wife or our spouse or appreciate your husband. Children, you're not going to appreciate your parents like you ought if you have forgotten what God has saved you from. Maybe tonight you need to realize that you've become so familiar with things that you don't recognize the great truth that God is trying to communicate to you because you've just kind of gotten this attitude that you deserve something. Just like the people in Christ's day who thought they deserved for Christ to do these mighty works in their midst. But yet they were rejecting who Christ was. And tonight maybe you think God should be doing all these great things in your life, but you're really rejecting His lordship in your life. Maybe tonight you just need to get back to recognizing, you know, I've become familiar in a sense that I've begun to demand instead of bowing down before the Lord and giving Him my all. And maybe that's where you need to begin this evening so that you can recognize, you know, with my wife, I haven't been treating her like I should because I've taken it for granted, the great blessing that I've had, that I've been given. You know, parents, maybe you have just taken for granted because of the familiarity of being able to have godly parents. You know, your familiarity with just being able to be a part of a good Christian school, you've taken it for granted. Just like the people took for granted the great opportunity they had for the Lord Jesus Christ to be raised in their midst. I wonder, you know, is God speaking to your heart this evening? Say, owner, is anyone here tonight with uplifted hands? Say, you know, the Lord is working in my life. You know, I've become familiar with some of these things, but I have not responded the right way. Is there anyone like that this evening? All right, you can put your hands down. I wonder, are there any other young people that the Lord is working in your life? You know, a lack of respect for your parents, lack of respect for your teachers. Have you become familiar that you have taken for granted the great privilege that you've been given? I wonder this evening, maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart about salvation. What were these people's great problem was they were rejecting the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ was offering them. So, you know, tonight my need is of salvation, that I repent and turn to Christ. Is there anyone like that this evening? All right, let's bow in prayer. Lord, I just Lord, each one of us, Lord, we need to be on guard, Lord, of not taking for granted the great privileges that we have been given. Lord, may we recognize that human tendency to take for granted, Lord, the privileges that we have been given. And Lord, may we, Lord, not just listen intently when a visiting preacher comes to our church, or listen intently when someone else is speaking to us, but may we listen intently, Lord, to the people that you have placed in our lives, Lord, to guide us and direct us in the truth of your word. And Lord, most importantly, may we listen intently to the Holy Spirit as he seeks to guide us, Lord, in the truth of your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.